This episode of the DTFH is brought to you by the ethereal masters of HTML over at squarespace.com. If you go to squarespace.com and use offer code Duncan, you'll get 10% off a beautiful brand new website. Sign up for a year, you get a free domain name. Squarespace. Start making a website to torture your parents or for your business today. Hello, my sweet and trembling globules of sentient habituation. It is I, D. Trussell, and you are listening to the Duncan Trussell Family Hour podcast. This is like kind of a live intro because I've invited Instagram Live people in to the brutal, excruciating, embarrassing, and awkward process of trying to create an intro to an episode. And I had to do it. I needed some kind of fuel. I needed something to push me over the edge because I just had a pretty brutal experience in Target and I got the creeps. I don't know how many of you out there have ever made the vile, satanic decision of eating marijuana before going into a Target, but it would be better for you to pour gasoline all over your body before going to a fireworks display. It's a bad place, Target, is a bad place. No offense, Target. This is my own personal opinion, not to defame your establishment or anything. But I would far rather wander through some dark forest and find myself standing inside of a cursed church with people in goat's masks having sex on a blood-soaked fucking altar than walk into a goddamn Target after having eaten a sizable dose of Chiba Chew-style edible marijuana. I am not sponsored by Chiba Chews. Because for whatever reason, somebody at the Target corporate office made the decision that they weren't going to play music at Target. And it's not like I need music or I'm like, oh God, there should be music everywhere, but you need something to drown out the anxiety sighs of the people wandering through Target, the squeaking of the fucking carts and the sighs and the bleeps and the bloops of cash registers. And just a general sense of unease, like somebody just gave birth to the fucking Antichrist somewhere in one of the aisles. You didn't see it happen, but you can just feel the sulfuric vibrational darkness emanating from the loins of somebody who just exploded the being that is going to bring absolute destruction to this planet somewhere in the electronics aisle. I went in there feeling great, too. I was in a completely happy mood listening to Miles Davis, thinking about the beauty of existence itself, really feeling puffed up spiritually. I guess this was a spanking from God. You get this sense that, oh yeah, I've got this, man. Life truly is amazing. I'm living in paradise and I feel directly connected to the vibrational force that life emerges from. And then you walk into a fucking Target and it's like Lucifer just slapped you in the face with his hoof. And you'd realize, God, I'm purely reactionary. I can't maintain a state of equanimity and tranquility because I haven't been working on myself. So when I go to a fucking Target, I'm at the goddamn beck and call of whatever malevolent forces possess a Target. Look, where are demons going to go these days? That's the question. Where would a demon go? Would a demon go to some pentagram somewhere? On the floor, like, are demons really going to show up in a runic circle in some dark sanctum of evil? No, demons aren't going to go there. Demons, because that's cool. Angels are going to go there. A demon's not going to go to some Slayer album cover. A demon's going to fucking show up at a Target. That's where they go. They sit in the Halloween aisle and cackle at the poor humans lost in a shuffling zombie-like haze trying to buy toilet paper. Anyway, had to get that off my chest. Already feel immediately better talking about it. A little embarrassing. I don't want to be disrupted by Target. I don't want to be that weak. I can't even manage to maintain a good mood going through a fucking Target, but that's where I'm at right now. Big trip coming up. I'm about to travel across the country. I'm leaving tomorrow with my dogs, my synthesizers. I've got some amazing podcasts lined up. I'm going to, hopefully, you know, these things can easily fall through, but I very possibly am going to be interviewing Wayne Coyne, the Flaming Lips, if it is the will of God. And also, I might be interviewing Will Oldham, speaking of the will of God. So that's pretty exciting. I'm going to be stopping by these spots on the way to Los Angeles. Then I'm going to be heading up to San Francisco. And then going to be doing some interviews up there, but I can't talk about them yet because I don't know if they're definitely going to happen. I don't want to pressurize the situation. So that's it. Sorry to throw negative juju out there. It's just I've been procrastinating. I got to take this long trip. I've been putting things off. I'm going to this incredible party tonight where people are going to be hanging from hooks in the ceiling. And I want to be able to go to that party and enjoy it. But I can't if I'm freaked out because I haven't packed for this massive trip tomorrow. So if I'm going to go, if people are going to be hanging by hooks from their skin for me this evening, then I want to fully be there and not be thinking about the fact that I haven't done laundry yet, that I haven't cleaned my place. And what about my plants? I don't know how long I'm going to be in Los Angeles. So that's what's going on with me, friends. Thank you for bearing with me. Thank you for listening to this podcast. And we've got a fantastic episode for you today. A sexy episode. This episode is about sex. We talk about sex. I don't talk about sex enough on this podcast. I'm always talking about spiritual things, psychedelics, but somehow it seems like sex gets left out. And what better person to talk about sex with than the amazing and hilarious comedian Ian Fidance, who is here with us today. So we're going to jump right into that. But first, some quick business. This episode of the DTFH is brought to you by the Angels of HTML over at squarespace.com. Head over to squarespace.com for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, use offer code DUNKIN to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or a domain. What kind of lunatic are you that you don't have a website in this incredible age as we find ourselves rapidly being devoured by the universe as we teeter on the brink of some inevitable singularity? There you are sitting in your rustic cabin building mail bombs and you don't have a fucking website. There has never been a time in human history where there was so much opportunity if you had the slightest inclination of starting your own business. You can easily do it just by sliding over to Squarespace. You can try it out for free. You don't need a card. It's a great way for you to turn your cool idea into a new website. You could even torture your paranoid father, which is something I think people forget when they're contemplating making websites. It doesn't all have to be for productivity. It doesn't all have to be as a service to sell your stinky socks online. And I say that in every ad only because it underlines how much opportunity there is out there in the world for you. If there is a market for smelly socks, then anything can be sold in this incredible, opulent, juicy time period in human history. But it doesn't all have to be for selling stuff. You could make something just to torment your father. Do you have a conservative father? Do you have a conservative, paranoid father? Is your father afraid of North Korea? Oh, shit. That's crazy. An Amber Alert just came in. Do you have a... So you can torment your parents with a website, you know? I guarantee that your parents haven't bought a domain name, haven't bought their domain name yet. And what's your... I guarantee that your mom or your dad or your uncle has not bought his own domain name yet. He doesn't have a .com. Which means that you could buy a .com for your father. And having a .com with your father's name is equivalent to owning his soul. You realize that? You get your what's your father's name? Prince Jackson? PrinceJackson.com. Right there. And then you can start putting news up about your father. Pictures of him, what he ate for breakfast. You name it. There's so many things you could do with the Squarespace website. And the beauty of Squarespace is they make it easy to update your site. And there's nothing better to say than that I use Squarespace for my website. If you want an example of the glorious potency of Squarespace, go over to DunkinTrussell.com. They've got beautiful templates created by world-class designers, powerful e-commerce functionality. They've got free and secure hosting and 24/7 award-winning customer support. Want to torture your parents? You can do it. Make it yourself by going to squarespace.com. Use offer code Duncan. You'll get 10% off of your first purchase of a website or a domain. Squarespace.com. A tremendous thank you to those of you who have been subscribing over at patreon.com. Do you long for weirder, longer, rambling intros, weird music coming in from my modular synthesizers, or are you just tired of listening to advertisements before the podcast itself? If so, Patreon is the place for you. All you got to do is go to patreon.com/DTFH, sign up. Not only will you have access to more DTFH stuff, but your ancestors will instantaneously be taken from the boiling pits of hell where they are currently being tortured night and day by demons and lifted up into heaven based on your subscription level. The higher the subscription level, the more stuff that happens to your ancestors' spirits. I think somewhere around $20 or $30 a month, they actually will take your ancestor into heaven and then take one of your dead enemies out of heaven down into hell. So it swaps. But you get the same basic content no matter what level you subscribe at after $5 a month. So it's a great way for you to support the podcast. And it is, in fact, the ultimate way to support the DTFH and to get a bunch of extra stuff. Also, we've got a shop with t-shirts, posters, stickers, and I know I always say this, but we've got a lot more cool new stuff coming to the shop. Theoretically, even I've had this dream of figuring out a way to create like a box with a false bottom in it. And so we're working on figuring out a way to manufacture that right now. Hopefully we'll have it for you by Christmas. Today's guest is a bisexual Uber Lord of the New York comedy scene. He is a hilarious comedian and one of my great friends out here in New York City. I'm happy to call him a friend, and I think you're really going to enjoy the mystical outflow that comes pouring out of this node of glory who calls himself Ian Fidance. Everybody, please open up your heart chakras and allow the glowing entities of hyper love to go zinging down the invisible zip lines that connect us to all other people on the planet and to go pouring into every atom of sweet Ian Fidance's being. Everybody, welcome to the Duncan Trussell Family Hour podcast, Ian Fidance. Praise the sweet gods in heaven. I'm here with one of the coolest people on earth, Ian Fidance. Thank you for returning to the DTFH. How are you doing?
Thank you so much for having me, man. I am doing great, dude. Every day's a gift, right? Let's unwrap it.
I guess it depends on what... I don't know. You know, the whole every day is a gift thing. It's like, that's a tough one, isn't it? Let's break that one down. Let's just start off there. Maybe we can figure it out.
Let's do it. Like,
every day is a gift. Well, I guess it depends on, like, if you're dating a fucking lunatic, every day is a gift. Hey, thanks for sending me a fucking grandmother that just died of a stroke.
That's every day is a gift. It's just one of those cans of worms that has, like, the snake that pops out.
That's the creepy thing. Like, if you were hanging out with God and he's like, hey, I got you a present. Uh-huh. You're always going to, when you open it, you're always going to be trembling. Like, right. Oh, fuck, what's right. in this one?
Is it a snake?
Is it winning the lottery or is it my Locus. Family getting exploded in a terrorist attack?
Yeah, right? But hey, gifts gives you something to look forward to, you know?
Ian, I got you your family dying in a terrorist attack.
It's just what I wanted. Thank you so much. All of them? That's so nice.
Every day's a gift. Every day's a gift. Oh, geez, God. I don't know. We got to talk about this. But, you know, from the perspective of, like, you know, right now the current methodology people are using to break down the age-old idea that we live in a universe created by some divine being is simulation theory. So I guess from that POV, if you and I are like in a futuristic simulator and we're some kind of eternal super advanced pals, and I'm like, hey, Ian, check out this cool-ass simulator I've got. Do you want to go into it and experience a human incarnation? It's going to seem like 70 years for you, but it's going to be 5 minutes to me. But when you come out the other side, you're going to be a lot wiser. And I'm going to throw in shit that's going to be hardcore. Are you up for it? You're probably going to be like, sure, I'll do it. Why not? Let me try it. I've heard about this thing.
I got nothing else to do.
And you're going to you're going to dive in there. And on this side, I'm going to be like, okay, all right. Yeah. All right, well, let's take his dad away from him. There we go. Oh, and we're going to make him a comedian.
Enjoy that road.
Yeah. But from that perspective, when you pop out of it and all the people that you encountered in the simulator who died or got or were in your enemies, suddenly you're surrounded by and they all love you. From that perspective, it would be a pretty cool ride, wouldn't it? It'd be a pretty cool game, you know?
Yeah, but also if that's the only thing you've ever known, what other ride do you have to compare it to, you know? Is there no choice but to be just grateful for what you did? For what you saw, what you went through, what happened?
Well, you gotta be honest.
Right.
I mean, gratitude is interesting, right? Because it's like it's very similar to like pretending you're turned on when you're not. Well, because like when let's say you've been in a, I don't know, long-term relationship or whatever, and you get to like, sometimes in those situations, I've heard people get to a point where, you know, sometimes you kind of aren't feeling it, right? But you know, you love the person, so you're going to like, you don't want to like completely be like, you know, I feel numb right now. I feel numb and cold. So you might fake it a little bit. This is the old classic faking orgasms. Now with dudes, it's a little different.
It's you ever faked an orgasm?
I don't think I have, man. I mean,
no.
I mean, what are you gonna do? You got to produce some. When a guy fakes an orgasm,
if you're wearing a condom, you can.
I haven't ever worn a condom.
Forgot who I was dealing with. Condoms. We don't even say that word.
Condoms. Don't say that. Don't utter that. No, I guess so. Like when you're wearing a condom, you can. But it's kind of like, to me, I think probably what's going to happen is I'm just going to say, hey, I'm on ecstasy. I can't come. You can't come when you're on ecstasy. You're amazing. But I can't come. And usually if you say that, a person will understand you.
Right.
But I'm just going to throw it out there, man. Not being able to come, this is not one of my problems in life. You know, like I don't mean that as a brag.
Right, of course.
I mean, like, it's like coming is just like, I don't know. I've never.
Breathing?
What?
Breathing?
I just came like a couple of times.
I saw.
I know.
Came out your nose.
Woo! So, yeah, man, I don't know. But no, the answer is no. I haven't faked an orgasm. And I think faking a fucking orgasm is really a kind of like a real insult to a person. Because when you fake an orgasm, you're like, hey, I don't think you're strong enough to take the truth that at this moment, for whatever dumb reason, I haven't been able to. Have you faked an orgasm, you monster?
I have. And I'll tell you, I've inversely faked an orgasm where I've been wearing a condom and I've been so turned on by them and I don't want to upset them that I've came and then I keep going and then a couple minutes later to give me a buffer, I'll be like, oh yeah.
Oh, then I've faked orgasms.
Yeah. Okay. But you come and then you keep going like you didn't come then afterwards you fake it. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah, I fake. Oh yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah, because you don't want to be like, you're so hot, I came so early.
Oh my God, are you kidding? Oh my God, you're just like, you're just praying. You're praying. mm-hmm. to whatever is the god of boners.
Yes.
Like, please.
Let me last longer.
Please. Whatever yes. you want, I'll sacrifice.
But you can't think, let me enjoy this, because then you're like, oh, I'm enjoying it. And then you just go.
Well, this is the other interesting thing about intimacy is like, so ideally, mm-hmm. you are fully in the moment experiencing that combination of you and this other amazing person mm-hmm. temporarily merging into some divine entity or yes. some shit. And that game is amazing, except when you get too caught up in your thoughts, this stuff, like what you're talking about, starts happening. Mm-hmm. If I come too soon, she's not going to like me because mm-hmm. she's going to think I'm weak, right?
Yes.
And then you are fully pulled out of the moment. And all you're thinking about is, am I weak?
Right.
I'm probably weak.
Right. I'm a loser.
Yeah.
I'm not what it means to be a man.
Yeah.
But in reality, you should be able to be honest and say, I'm so fucking into you, I can't even control my body.
Yeah.
Let me take care of you now.
Yeah.
I'm so into you that even after I have all my love juice out of my body, I still want to love on you, you know? I think that form of honesty, and I think you can reach that intimacy with certain people, you know, but it's all about how you communicate it prior to the act.
But the first time, you know, you are kind of like, well...
The first time it's so hard not to come early because you get so excited, it's new. If you're really into the person, you know, you're like, oh, I'm so nervous, finally.
Yeah.
And then you go early and you got to be like, oh, yeah, well, you know.
You know, I just, sexual apologies feel so lame. Where you're like, God, I'm just so, you know.
Because you're so fully naked.
Can I just explain to you what's been going yeah. on? It's just like, you know, it's been a while. I haven't really been with you in a while. I'm like,
right.
You know, I think I'm just going to fall asleep. And then you go into like a shame sleep. You know, like, and you're all, now this is, this has got to be a product of living in a culture where sex has been transformed into this kind of prohibited taboo rarity or something, right? Because there's all this weird cultural shit attached to it, and it's like
a lot of shame,
and you know, ideally, it's like you need to be with some. I don't know, everyone's different, but don't you think most girls, if that happens, at the very worst, they're just a little like, oh, I want to come.
What do you mean, really, if what happens?
If you come too soon.
Oh, right. You should always take care of your partner, male or female, whatever they are. I mean, you're not the only one. You're not using another human to masturbate.
Yeah.
You're fucking in it together.
And as long as that's your intention behind it.
Right.
You know, then I think you're going to be fine.
I could never, I just felt like such a gross person. Coming and then not taking care of the other person, it's like, or not even addressing it, like,
well, thanks a lot, sweetie.
Right. Yeah, thanks, toots.
Let's see what's on Netflix.
yeah, what the fuck, man?
And that, you know, that used to be the way it was. Like, that was like one, because like when women...
But I think you gotta learn that as like a young kid, you think that's what it is, and then it's like telling a bad joke on stage. You know, you can do it, but you should be aware enough to get that icky feeling inside you and be like, okay, I don't like how that makes me feel. Let me change this.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But some people don't have the awareness to recognize the icky. They just keep doing, you know?
I mean, no, I'm saying, like, have you ever heard of hysterical paralysis?
No.
So hysterical paralysis was this, or the fainting couch. You know about the fainting couch?
No.
They called it back then, like, women problems.
Mm-hmm.
So... Like, there was a time when women would go to a doctor, and the doctor would make them come. Did you know that?
No.
Oh, yeah, because men weren't making their wives come. So, and the idea of touching yourself and making yourself come was like, considered, like, evil.
Right.
So what ended up happening was the women weren't coming.
Uh-huh.
And it was, and like, they were, like, you know, I don't know. I'm not real deeply familiar with the subject, but as... It was like they were like their arms were freezing up, like they weren't coming. So they were like having all these like byproducts of not experiencing right. the human orgasm, and they had like fainting couches and hysteria. And so you would go to a doctor, and the doctor would like make you come. You would
Dr. Cunnilingus.
Yeah. He would like rub Lingus. Your clit until you came, and then you would have this like explosive orgasm, right. probably for a bunch of different reasons. Number one, it's kind of fucking hot. Mm-hmm. You're at the doctor, and he's like, well, I think I know the problem. Right, you're in a right. fucking, I don't know, 18th century porn all of a sudden. Yeah, he's like, I think I can help with your problem.
He's got opium in the corner.
Yeah. Oh, my God. He's just gave you like a little tincture of laudanum, yeah, and now he's rubbing your clit.
Yeah.
And you're just like, you're like, it's totally cool because it's a doctor.
Right.
And this like stranger is making you come while right. giving you opium.
And your husband's like, well, go see the doctor. Well,
yeah.
You must be sick. It's not me. You got the devil inside you.
Yeah. And then when you were done, you would like go down to the restaurant downstairs and order some fucking Coca-Cola with cocaine in it.
Right, right, right.
God, those were the days.
Yeah, right.
Now we're just like, Jesus Christ, everyone's coming, but there's no cocaine in the drugs.
It's horrible, man. Horrible. We gotta, you know what? Let's go get some lab coats and fucking make this world right.
Well, there are actually, there is a guy that I know, that's what he does do that. He does like orgasm therapy or something. Like
that's so weird.
Is it?
I don't know. I mean, he should, instead of him giving the orgasm, he should be teaching people how to give the orgasm.
I think that's part of it.
Is it? Well, so I mean, it's like a workshop? Or is it just this guy that's like, hey, everyone, come to my apartment. I'm going to make you all come.
Orgasm therapy. Yeah, some creep on Craigslist.
Yeah, it's like, well, share the gift.
He's kind of handsome. And it's like the idea is not that like you have to be handsome or whatever to like, mm-hmm. you know, induce pleasure, that there's some kind of, but okay, here's the idea, right? This is the idea. Mm-hmm. We have to start with a fundamental question. Is it bad to come?
Well.
Or another question would be, when is it wrong to come?
The DMV.
I mean, okay.
Number B48 in a minute.
Oh, God. Yeah. Oh, God, please don't call me.
I mean, you're there for 8 hours. You can do something, you know?
Okay. But, like, why? So, okay. At the DMV, mm-hmm. I can sneeze.
Mm-hmm.
I can fart.
Mm-hmm.
I can burp.
Mm-hmm.
I can go into the bathroom if they have one, which they usually don't because mm-hmm. they're satanic facilities.
Mm-hmm.
And I could shit. Mm-hmm. I could piss. But if I was to go into the bathroom at the DMV and jerk off, no one's probably going to find out. But if they knew I was... So, like, I could go...
Someone would report you.
Probably. I can go into the bathroom at the DMV and open my asshole mm-hmm. and just excrete foulness.
Yes.
And no one's going to do anything. You know, mm-hmm. no one's going to be like, oh, come out of the bathroom like, hey, there's a man in there who's evacuating his mm-hmm. bowels.
Mm-hmm.
But I could go into the DM, if I went in there and was jerking off, they'd be like, you fucking perv, you're a sex offender now, right?
Right.
So, and it's true, I don't want to be in the DMV and see anyone jerking off, and I don't want to be in the bathroom and see anyone jerking off, and I certainly don't jerk mm-hmm. off in the DMV bathroom. But why is this taboo? Is it taboo because there's something innately evil about having an orgasm in public? Or is it more likely that cultural conditioning over the millennia has made it so that in our minds there's something naturally unsavory or taboo or evil about experiencing pleasure at that level? And I think that is what's going down. We live in a society that is opposed to certain states of pleasure, and they want to moderate it, modulate it, prohibit it, control it. That's the time period that we're in right now, man.
Mm-hmm.
We gotta wear clothes.
Yeah.
Women still have to wear shirts.
Right.
Think about that. Women have to wear shirts at the beach. A woman cannot, if I want to, I think mm-hmm. I've seen you take your shirt off while you ride your bike.
I ride shirtless all the time.
A woman in New York,
mm-hmm.
if she takes her shirt off and rides just shirtless
mm-hmm.
through New York, mm-hmm. that is a political act.
Right. It's punk rock in a way.
Yeah.
It's legal to go around shirtless if you're a woman in New York City.
Still a political act.
It is. So then, do you have more and more people do it to normalize it?
Well, I mean, the problem is if a woman rides around with her shirt off anywhere, she opens herself up to experiencing a cultural backlash at a level that we can't even imagine.
Right.
So she's going to ride her bike around with her shirt off through New York and, I mean, I don't know, or anywhere,
mm-hmm.
and get stared at, catcalled. People are going to put their eyes over their kids, mm-hmm. or their hands over their... Women get in trouble for fucking breastfeeding in public.
Right, right.
So this is the era that we're in right now, right? So this is just a woman's mammary gland.
You know, you bring up that thing about coming in public or like, you know, whatever. When I was a little, I got in trouble for getting too many erections when I was on the swim team. When I was like 4, I had to go see a doctor. Oh, I used to go at the beach. I used to just sit and stare and get little boy boners at women that were laying down without their bikini straps on, you know? So it's like, if that's happening, you know, as a kid, that was, I mean, thankfully I've conditioned to take care of my boners now. But I mean, I think if more and more women did that, we would get used to it more, but there'd be a definite shock period for a long time.
Right.
So it's like, okay, so then should women walk around topless? If they want to, why not?
Yeah.
I would love for women to feel the joy of riding around shirtless, but also, too, you get to think, breasts are heavy, they flap in the wind. It's women have to wear sports bras when they run because it is a hazard that could hurt them.
Yeah, but we just, a woman in this time period,
mm-hmm.
existing in the United States,
mm-hmm.
will not know what it means to be able to take their shirt off in public without having there be some kind of political, sexual,
mm-hmm.
Statement attached to it.
Mm-hmm.
And a guy is going to feel the same way. And I mean, like, we deal with this all. I've dealt with this personally in my own life, you know, and, mm-hmm. and like, you know, with people that I've been with where it's like, oh, you know, nudity is like, oh, what does it mean? What are you saying? What does that mean?
Mm-hmm.
And it's all because of this fucking world that we've been like sort of cooked inside of, where it's like,
it's funny because they'll expose every other part of the body except for like the butthole, the pussy or the nipples. But it's like, look at this fashionable bikini where everything is out.
Yeah. And it's Instagram, like, you gotta cover the nips.
Yeah. But everything else is out. It's like, what are we doing? Let the nips out. Why not?
Yeah.
If you're gonna show the whole thing, but sometimes it's sexier if a woman's like real covered up and you have to use your imagination, that's great.
Yeah.
But if you just put a little tassel on the nipple, it's like, well, the imagination shot. Just let them go on the
bottom wall. Bottom line is, it's absolutely insane that we live in an mm-hmm. era where we live in an era
mm-hmm.
where you can take a picture mm-hmm. of yourself, publish it and show it to a zillion people, and yet we still have to cover the nipples.
Mm-hmm.
And we live in an era where that is taboo. And I've experienced the feeling of like confusion personally regarding that stuff. And it's like, it's an embarrassment to me. I don't want to be like that. Man, I'll tell you, when I was at fucking Burning Man, there's this thing that Dr. Bronner's people do, this thing where you take your clothes off and like you go into this room and they spray you with Dr. Bronner's water and you're just mm-hmm. in this room filled with naked people and they're blasting you with fucking Bronner's soap. Mm-hmm. And this was, this year it was usually it's called, I think, transformation is what it's called, transformation.
Mm-hmm.
But this year it was transformation, which means the people blasting you with water, it was guys dressed as women and like, you know, I think women were dressing like dudes. So it's like mm-hmm. gender sliding.
Yeah.
So you're in this thing and like, it's like the craziest thing.
Right.
Naked. And I did this. This is the first time I've ever gotten publicly naked in front of people. And
no, dude, way. That's it great. Was
fucking terrifying. And all my body issues and all the shame, all this stuff. It's just like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. What am I doing? What am I doing? This was really intense. It's like one of the gifts that they give people is a chance to like experience all the psychological shit attached to shame of your body. The feeling of like, I'm too fucking fat. you know, I wish my fucking cock was bigger. I wish that I was, you know, I want to be strong and like all this shit. And it all ties around one central core point, which is that we don't love ourselves and that we live in a world where we have been taught not to love our most fundamental basic thing, which is our physical form. And for men, it could just be like, oh, I don't have rock hard fucking abs. I'm too hairy. I got this weird humpy thing on my fucking back. My body's old. I'm getting this shit. But for women, it's a fundamental physiological thing. Mm-hmm. It's like your boobs are evil.
Right.
You know, this is a crazy time to live in. So to get back to our point here, we live in a culture where pleasure at certain degrees is taboo.
Mm-hmm.
That's just the reality of the time period we're in. I don't care how fucking advanced you think you are.
Right.
Here, we cannot deal with the orgasm, and we cannot deal with the fact that women can come.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard for us to deal with the fact that women can have multiple orgasms and dudes want to fall asleep after they come. Right. Because that implies something nobody wants to think about.
Right. Well, I think as a dude, if you know that about yourself, that when you come, you check out, okay, well, work on fucking making them come first, so that you can come and then check out together.
Don't check out.
It's not or like don't check out.
You're not on fucking Everest here. You know, right, it's not like right. You fucking like, what do you need, an oxygen tank, bitch? You know what I mean? What's going on here? What
is you need a Sherpa?
The air a little fucking thin up here, you fucking pussy. Come on. I'm talking to myself here. Hey, wait.
You fucking pussy, Duncan. I mean, pussy.
I mean, I would be a liar to say that there hasn't been a time where, like, you've become overcome with exhaustion and, like...
Right.
But, that being said, I think anybody who's got the just vaguest amount of sexual decency should make it a priority to get to induce as much pleasure as possible.
For sure. But, I mean, I think... partner. I think... You know, sex education is so fucked up because a lot of places teach abstinence rather than practice, proper practice.
There you go.
Which is insanity. And I also think that if you're going to be teaching the ins and outs of sexual reproduction.
No pun intended, bro.
Hey, baby. You know, if you're going to be teaching the thrusting and thrusting outs and the hip movements of sexual reproduction, don't just teach them what's in the car. Teach them how to drive the car.
Yeah.
You know, teach that it's good to give pleasure. It's good to give, as long as you're safe.
You'll go to jail.
It's good to please someone else. This is how you achieve orgasm for men and for women.
Go to jail.
And then kids don't learn. They learn through pornography. So then they just see fucking pile driving over and over. And then, okay, pull out, come on a woman's face, and then it's over. And it's like, that's not real life, you fucking idiot. That's not how life is. That's not how you treat another human being.
No.
In a moment, if it's consensual and she's like, come on my face, you're like, yeah, all right. But that's not the norm. The norm is a very, you know, delicate, loving, gentle thing. And you know, foreplay is huge. Women don't really... Some women come...
Wait, what's foreplay?
Foreplay is when you have four partners in the room at once. That's foreplay. You know, a lot of women come from their head. They don't come just from their pussy, you know? And
guys, too.
Right. Yeah. Dude, sometimes, oh my God, like getting like tickled or scratched a little, you know, that's like so nice. Or just even like running your fingers around before just like jamming it in, you know, it's a delicate dance that a lot of people don't learn how to do.
This is great, man. I didn't know we were going to do a sex podcast.
Ooh.
I had no idea. This is great. I feel like it's like my podcast just took a new turn.
And yeah.
Now it's like talking sex. It's one of those kinds of podcasts. Well, yeah, man. I mean, this is like what we're dealing with here in the current time period. And this is why I attach this very same thing, the same mode of thinking to psychedelics, which is that we live in a time where certain levels of pleasure are illegal, where like certain types of pleasure, you will go to jail for that. Like you can go to jail for possessing certain substances that produce ecstatic states. Mm-hmm. And this is not because these substances are harmful.
Right.
It's because the gestalt of the zeitgeist that we're in is opposed antithetically to high states of pleasure.
Right.
Because high states of pleasure tend to be subversive in the sense that recognizing your potential to experience bliss in this reality runs counter to the concept of a 40-hour work week and the concept of, you know, an industrial...
God and country.
Yeah, yeah. And so that means that, you know, I'm not saying there's some group of people doing this. Maybe there is. I don't know. But there is certainly a force that is politically opposed to orgasms, to nudity, to sexuality, to psychedelics, to joy on the primordial earthly level, because that kind of joy is considered to be sinful and of the devil.
Well, yeah, because if you're coming and you're loving, you won't want to go to war.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, you're... Every person I know that's like wildly conservative, and you know, it's like such a stereotypical thing, but they just always turn out to be boring lovers.
Gotta be, right?
Yeah, just missionary, boring. Okay, let's shower now.
You've had that experience?
Yeah. Yeah.
Of square sex?
Oh, yeah.
No way.
Yes.
You?
Well, I had to turn them out, you know? I had to teach them how it's done.
I can't imagine you attracting a square.
Yeah, I dated a girl for a bit, family, wildly conservative. I used to get in fights with her family where I'd have to get up and leave because they're racist, or, you know, they'd say these, you know, off-the-wall things. I'd be like, no, that's not right. You're wrong.
What?
Oh, yeah.
Dude, I'd have to, like, walk out. You've got fucking balls of steel. Well, are you kidding? You're with your girlfriend's family getting in political fights with them?
Oh, yeah. Walking out of their incredibly huge farmhouse that would be ours if we got married. Telling her friend she's a piece of shit because she was fucking getting too reckless with her racial slurs. Piece of shit, man. Rich, super nice, but super conservative.
What was her racial slur?
Ah, you know, hard ends.
Like actual hard ends?
Oh, yeah. I think it was no big deal. Cute 21-year-old girl. No big deal. Fuck you.
In this fucking nice farmhouse, you were actually around that level of racism in a farmhouse? Someone blasting out ends?
Oh, yeah, dude.
And this is your girlfriend's family?
Ex. Long time ago. Yeah.
Are you guys eating when this happened? Let's just talk about this day or night. Can you, I just want to
The family wouldn't. I'm talking about her friends would like flippantly, like, ha ha ha, you know, just like young college girls or whatever. And I was like, you know, it's not like not a good thing to do.
So you didn't do this whatever. In front of her parents?
No, her parents would bring it. Well, you know, why is there blackpeoplemeet.com and not whitepeoplemeet? I'm like, well, because every other site's whitepeoplemeet. Yeah. Annie? What do you think?
Yeah.
You know, and well, actually, you know, and then, you know, I'd bring up, you know, crime statistics and everything, how, you know, black people are disproportionately put in jail and everything. And, well, you know, they do crime because I'd be like, all right, I gotta go. This is ridiculous. You're being fucking rude. Ian, you're being rude. And I was like, all right, well, I'm gonna go leave.
Damn, Ian, that's badass. That's ballsy. That's crazy, man. What would your girlfriend do after this?
Oh, she was like embarrassed. And then, you know, she would like side with me, but then, you know, I'd start drinking again. We broke up. There you go. But, you know, I don't know. They were just like a small, rich family in a, you know, had like a farmhouse.
And that was square. PA. That was square sex.
Yeah, it was. And then I had to, you know, kind of let her take my hand and kind of go into different routes and stuff. But, you know.
Dude, this was so funny. You were like Jimi Hendrix. Are you experienced? Have you ever been experienced?
I have.
There are so many hilarious songs from that era.
Yeah.
Surrounded by the incredibly erotic concept of introducing high levels of joy to someone who hasn't necessarily experienced
right.
it. I mean, that's an erotic fantasy, right? Like,
right.
It's like actually in a lot of ways that concept of being like, I know that you're afraid, but let me show you this beautiful
yes.
world.
Yes.
There's something so sexy about that. And like, there's such something so super hot about that. So
I just had a gal come down from Rhode Island that we kind of hit it off when I was up there, and she came down and we started just have this intense sexual energy. And she had been like a virgin until she was 27, only been with like two or three other guys. Felt like she missed out on her sexual awakening.
Yeah.
And so I was like, okay, let me take care of you. I'll show you what it is. Just trust me and I trust you. And we had the most fuck-filled, crazy sex weekend where she let her inhibitions down and we had the best fucking time. I mean, straight up animalistic, can't even move afterwards, just the cum in life sucked right out of you, both of us. Just laying in bed. Amazing. And she called it her sexual awakening of 2017.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it was awesome.
That's amazing.
Felt great.
When did that happen?
A couple weekends ago.
That's great, but how do you come back to your life after that? Like, do you I mean, like, that oh my God.
I came back to life by swearing off sex forever. I was like, I can't do it anymore. I'm done. I'm drained.
There you go.
And a week later, I'm jerking off. I'm
okay,
let's do it.
But that's the world we live in. We live in a world where, you know, these things are taboo. And, like, you know, you there is another, like, if you spend a weekend, like, in a lot of other joyful endeavors,
right.
you know, you feel maybe like, oh, I should take a rest, but it's not. There's something about sex that's so incredibly powerful and so incredibly dangerous and
yeah.
so incredibly like intimate. And mm-hmm. so it's just really, I don't know. It's one of those things. Look, we can go on and on about it, but it's like, you hit certain boundaries in your thought process that I think are there because of like intense conditioning. And one of the first boundaries that you just like, I don't know how, why aren't we not having the conversation about how nudity is still considered evil in our culture? I've been infected by the concept.
Mm-hmm.
I know what that feels like.
Cover up. Cover up.
Yes.
You hear that a lot. Cover up.
Dude, I've been there.
You know what it is? It's because dads know how they look at women, and then they have daughters, and they know how other men are looking at their girls, and they don't want that to happen. What's the number one dad stereotype? When a guy comes to pick my girl up, I'm showing
I'm
up to the door with a shotgun.
Right?
I'll scare that boy right off. Give me that dick.
Come here, boy.
Come here. You want to date my daughter? See what happens. Rusty trombone. You want to date my daughter? I'll eat your ass right now.
Oh, let me explain something to
just
you.
Just going to prom.
Anyone who dates my daughter, I'm going to taste their cock first. Do you understand
that? Dick's better be good enough for me. It's good enough for my daughter.
Get your fucking pants off right now. Mary, go in the other room and get me the rosé.
Kid goes back home. How is your date? I don't want to talk about it. Oh, shit. Oh, that's so funny.
Oh, man. Yeah. I really... you know, I, when these things, you know, you run into this like incredible boundary and you kind of have to like really, you know, you just get to points where like, well, you know, at this time in history, I'm not going to push back because I don't really have the energy to be that much of a freak. And so I'm
yeah,
just going to kind of.
You know what? If not you, then who? You know, I mean, it's like in a way, you know, I've heard it from. Women, I've heard it from men. I've thought it myself. I can't believe that girl's walking around like that. I can't believe her butt is hanging out. You know, so I've heard she should cover up, you know, and it's like,
yeah.
Okay, well, if you're having them cover up because you're afraid of the male attention, well, then why not tell the male to keep their eyes in their fucking head?
Good
you know,
luck.
Why is it always, you know, the girl has to cover, the girl has to be wary, and it's not the guy has to act like a fucking decent human?
I don't know, man. It's like, I don't know. It's I think this is like...
Because it's also hard, too. I mean, women are beautiful creatures. When you see a girl who's scantily clad, you can't help but be like, oh, my God. It, like, taps into this thing inside you where you're like, beauty, beauty, beauty.
Yeah. It titillates you.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah. And that's, again, we don't want... I mean, we're not allowed. That's just not... You know, I don't know. Maybe one of the beautiful things about producing these, like... boundaries is that they like wherever there's a boundary, it makes it that much cooler when you like tear down the boundary or something. Right. So maybe that's cool, but there's nothing better than like, you know, if you really want to get creative, if somebody blesses you by like, you know, trying to tell you you shouldn't make something, that's gonna really get me making. As a comedian, you're just like, fuck you. I'm gonna fucking do that, you motherfucker.
Yeah.
So.
Oh my God, dude. Right? One of the first like real book gigs I ever got in Delaware. I went down to this place. It was called. I even forget the name. It was such a shit bar, man. The guy goes, listen, you're doing 5 minutes, and don't do that joke where you sing. Nobody likes it. And I go, okay. I did the joke where I sing, and when I sang, I looked him right in the eye the whole time.
There you go, there you
Bombed go. Miserably, got off after 3 minutes, but I fucking did it because he told me not to.
Yeah. You know? So this is the gift of repression, I guess. Yeah. And so there is something beautiful about that. I mean, this is like the birth of fetishes, right? Like a fetish is a fetish because it's taboo, right? Like when people, you know, have quote vanilla sex or whatever you want to call it, no one's going to say that's a fetish. You know, it's like, I've never heard. And have you ever heard of someone having the missionary position as a fetish? Like, you know, it really gets me off a fucking missionary position. I just
probably think, like porn stars, I guess, like wild, crazy people. Yeah. They're like, let's just make love. Oh, you're talking crazy.
Yeah. But it's, you know what I mean? So right. It's like, and I think fetishes are, to have a fetish is to be given like a great gift, like to have some weird kinky thing that you're into, whatever it is.
Right. Well, I think fetish connotates some sort of thing that involves leather or heels or some sort of BDSM thing. But I think fetish could even just be like, you know, you enjoy a certain style of sex that is not whatever, you know, like I think I have an ass fetish. Like I love ass play. I love asses. I love asshole. And I think it's because it is taboo and it's a thing that's, you know, kind of dirty and not whatever. So to explore that is like, oh, I'm doing something naughty.
To have this thing.
Yeah.
That you're not supposed that. Yeah. So that you have this extra thing. Cause it's like, okay, we're already having sex. Mm-hmm. So like,
which is no.
Which is already, but right. We're having sex. So like, this is we're already like opening ourselves up to each other in this really intense way. But we need, you know, like it's like the Spinal Tap, that much used scene in Spinal Tap where he's like, oh, that goes to 11.
To 11, yeah.
You know what I mean? You need that. You need the way to push the dial to 11 sexually. So you need a thing like that. Yeah. And when you have that, you're lucky. And if you don't have that, what's wrong? Like if somebody doesn't have something like that, some kink, some little thing that like really blows their top.
Kill them all and let God sort them out.
Are you suggesting some kind of sexual genocide where like we like find all the people who aren't kinky
and get execute them, out. Them? Get them out.
Planet Kink. That's your porn right Planet there, man. Planet Kink. That's your porn. You rise to power. You become some terrible sexual tyrant.
And
you have to go through the land.
Yeah.
And anyone who doesn't reveal whatever the fuck it is.
And I have to fuck them to find out.
You have to fuck everyone on earth.
You know, it's a job I'm up to do, Duncan.
Yeah, man. I like this is the really strangeness of all of this. Even talking about this just makes me feel like, oh my God, what are we even doing? I hardly ever talk about sex on the podcast. Right. That's weird. Mm-hmm. I don't know why. Yeah. It's very odd. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know.
Well, it's funny because I do feel like it is at the forefront of a lot of conversations, these sexual beings and things, but no one's actually experiencing it. You know, like, I don't know. I just have this thing of like, I don't know, eat pussy, give head till you're dead. Who gives a shit? You know, try it out. Why not? If you don't like it, you don't like it. If you do, you do. You don't have to try it.
Yeah.
Or you can try it, but don't be afraid of trying.
The main thing is you do whatever you want.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Do whatever you want. See, then this transcends sex. Sex is just a way. Like,
right. And I also had these desires for so long, and then I didn't do what I wanted.
Yeah.
So I adhered to these social ideas of holding back.
Yeah.
And then now that I've let loose, it's like, what joy.
Yeah, man. And that manifests in people's lives mm-hmm. in so many different ways.
So many different ways. Oh, for sure.
And this is the... And what ends up happening is... So you don't even know that you've become constrained. Mm-hmm. And people are constrained in so many different ways. And then what happens is because you have been constrained, you will become... Generally, you might find yourself... in some way, shape, or form, surrounded by constrainers. Mm-hmm. And you're constraining them too, because you've been taught to constrain. And so in this way, you end up having constructed a prison made of your social circle, and you are imprisoning them, and they're imprisoning you, and the expectations that you are this way that you thought you were when secretly you weren't, mm-hmm. because you were lying. And it's not just being gay or straight. It's like, maybe you love to take psychedelics from time to time. Maybe you like smoking marijuana. Maybe you are somebody who's secretly a communist. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe you're like, when you read like communist propaganda, there's some part of you that like catches on fire and you think, yeah, mm-hmm. I like the idea of like mm-hmm. no property. I like the idea of sharing. Or maybe you're somebody right. who like... gets off on the idea of like having multiple partners or whatever mm-hmm. the fucking, but you're in a thing that's like really fucking, you know, monogamous or all these things can happen to you where you end up trapped, mm-hmm. right? Deeply buried in an avalanche yeah. of expectation by your social circle and
and expectations you've tricked yourself into having.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And how do you get out of that, man? Like, I mean, that's like you and me, it's fucking easy. You and I could do almost anything probably. Mm-hmm. And no one's going to really be like, whoa, what? At right. this point, it's not going right. to really, we're comedians and like, right. you know, it's not going to surprise a bunch of people. But mm-hmm. some folks, man, they're fucking like, we're talking like people who are like in the priesthood. Mm. You know, we're talking people who are like in the pastor of some church.
I say surprise them.
Yeah, you know? But then you get outcast, ostracized, thrown into the fucking outer darkness. You're like, and it's really rough on people, man. Right. This is no little thing for a lot of people. Like, people are eaten alive
right.
by
oh, of
their
course.
Secret predilections.
Yeah.
Whatever they may
well,
be.
Well, also, too, I feel like a lot of times perception is reality, and if you perceive yourself to be eaten alive by these certain things, and you perceive that things are going to happen without even knowing, if you give it a shot, there's a way to find some sort of acceptance outside yourself or somewhere else. If it's not within the certain group that you've come out to or whatever, you yeah. can go somewhere else and find it elsewhere. It's a hard thing, but you know, it does take time. But you know, the goal is to live authentically. I think
the goal is to live authentically. The goal is to live more than authentically. The goal is to fucking like overcome mm-hmm. the fear and like, oh yeah. my God, every time you fucking do that, oh wow, like the structural collapse that mm. will immediately follow
right
you kicking out the beams of dishonesty that you're right. desperately trying to use to uphold some ridiculous fucking life structure.
Well, dude, talk to anyone that's been divorced.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah,
I mean, talk to someone that's been divorced, the freedom they feel of finally being like, the charade is over, you know.
Yeah, dude. You come scrabbling out of that dusty ruin of yeah. lies, just yeah. a heap of complex, just broken lies. Just, it's like looking at a fucking building demolition and you right. want to go through and pick out all the different, like, where did it go wrong? Was it this beam or that beam yeah. or that? But it's just, who the fuck knows?
The foundation.
Yeah, the foundation was filled with worms. Yeah. the rot of your lies. Yeah, and then you, it just falls apart. And then you're kind of like, you know, I'll tell you, man, once I was hanging out with a friend of mine when I was a kid, not a friend, someone like in my family. And I remember, man, he was in a rough one, and he took me, I don't even know why, I was like a kid. And he's like, Duncan, you want to go for a walk? I'm like, sure. I'm a kid. I don't remember how old I was, but I was just a kid, and we're on this walk, and he's all grim and dismal, and we go out, and we're looking out over a lake or something. And he looks at me, he's like, Duncan, you ever just want to leave it all behind? Just say goodbye to everything and just go away from everything? And I remember looking at him and like, I don't know, man. You know, I think I'm in the eighth grade or something, you know? but what he was entertaining...
You mean like throwing out your comic books?
Yeah. And that he was entertaining the dream of the imprisoned soul.
Right.
Which is that here we are, here he was, you know, backed into a corner of bad decisions and truly, truly trapped. Because to say goodbye to your family is not so easy. You know, you have kids.
Yeah.
You can't. You can't. These are your children. They need a family, a mother and a father and a life, right? Right? I'm asking you, right?
Yeah.
So if that's the case, then you can't fucking leave. And then what? Oh, God. The songs of sorrow. The desperate secret songs of sorrow rising up from the hearts of so many people around this planet. Not because they're locked in some prison cell of iron bars and guards, but they're because they're locked in a fucking prison cell of lies. Dude, it's so sad. It's so sad. And it's like, this is the reason being is because we live in a fucking world of nuclear goddamn families. It's like we have transformed what used to be a tribal society into a fucking car in the garage, wife and your man, everything for my family, anything for my kids and my wife.
Dude, that's why. Oh, my God. Fucking... Nobody that has a family is ever going to truly, truly care about outside issues that don't have to do with their family, their property, and that's it. The second, it's an animalistic thing. Once you have a family, you protect your family. So if you don't have families, you're more willing to protect and help the communal family of those around you. But then once you have blood family, you don't give a fuck about your community. Some people do. There are some outliers that are great, wonderful people. But the majority, it's just too much work, you know? Why would fucking people in Billings, Montana, you know, go to a Black Lives Matter rally when they're fucking like, I'm trying to feed my family, you know?
Yo, I'm trying to feed my fucking family right now.
Yeah.
That's the whole, that is like the classic thing of just like, I mean, fucking Biggie Smalls raps about, this is fucking, the Notorious B.I.G. raps about, everyone sings about country singers, hip-hop artists, fucking everyone raps, this whole fucking thing, like, oh, it's all for my family, I had to feed my kids, I had to feed my fucking kids. It's like, listen, man, here's the, this is true, you did, because we're playing a game right now, and the game is, you mate with one person, you pop out some little versions of yourself.
Yeah.
You build a safety dome around them. You move to the grid where fucking buses come and pick up your offspring and take them to fucking education camps.
Yeah.
And then you do everything to keep your fucking yard groomed. And if somebody gets on your fucking yard in the wrong fucking state, you are allowed to shoot them in the fucking back, even if they're running. This is the world that we're in right now. So it's like, these corners people have backed themselves into, you backed yourself in there not because you have some broken part of yourself. You did it because the world that we're living in is one where...
Tricked you into it.
Yes!
Dude, my mom fucking told me, a childhood friend, she's friends with the mom, right? She goes, well, you know, they just had a girl and he is just so miserable. He wanted a boy so bad and they said that they're going to have four total to try to have a boy. And if they don't have a boy after four, they're going to stop having kids. And it's like, yeah, why not bring something into the world that it didn't ask to be brought into just for your selfish need of having a boy?
Yeah,
why not bring more things into this world that you will have to take care of, feed, school, and completely nurture for 18 years, probably 10 more after that, and take up more space just because of your selfish need to have something with a penis.
Dear God.
Fuck you. Dear I had God. A neighbor. They had 11 kids, all because they were trying to have a girl. They kept having boys, kept having boys, kept having boys. Give it another shot. Give it another shot.
Oh, no. This is so fucked up. And it's like, dude, they're fucking humans in this world that they're bringing in for no other reason but their selfish interest. Fuck you.
To quote Jack Kerouac, to have a child is to damn a being to death.
Mm.
And it's so, every time you have a little baby, you're giving someone the death sentence. So, but you're also giving them a life sentence. But the point is, if you're in some fucked up relationship in a nuclear family, you don't have a community in the normal way, in the archaic way, to like deal with the problems. Like if you have a great community and you're like struggling with your fucking wife, it's not like you're gonna have to like, you have a community. Your wife might go and be with someone else for a little bit. Your wife might go and be with one of your friends and
communal
like,
environments.
Yeah.
We need children being raised in a communal environment.
Cuck.
Everyone together.
You cuck.
Yeah, you cuck them.
You cuck. Yep. What? You're like what? You're like you want to be with someone? You cuck. 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 You know what I mean? It's fucked up. It's like the most fucked up thing ever. It's like you're and it's built into us too.
Yeah.
You know? So this is really, you know, North Korea.
Right.
If some horror story happens.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a war on the fucking in North Korea. And when this theoretically that whatever is going on over there collapses and all the people who've been programmed for generations to believe some audacious lie regarding the centralized government suddenly realize the whole thing's an audacious lie, and this like world's been happening all around them that's somewhat evil but yet so much more opulent than what they ever thought could ever be possible. They're going to have to fucking deal with something that they can never fully get out of their system, which is the indoctrination of the state into their being.
Right.
In the same way, you and I, man, no matter what, I don't think you can ever fully get free of the conditioning that's been...
Of the nuclear family.
Ever.
Right.
Not in this life. I don't think we'll ever get that splinter out of our fucking brains. It will always be there. This fucking stigmatization of orgasm and psychedelics and joy and tribalism and polyamory and...
Is that not just the animalistic need to procreate just monetized for the family?
Yeah, it sure as fuck is. That's a great way to put it. Ugh, commodified fucking.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's commodified fucking. And it's like, you know, again, it's like we think about these things. It's like, might as well just imagine a world where there's no fucking gravity, right? Just like fantasize about what it'd be like to fly too, because it's like it's not going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you can go live on a commune somewhere or something like that, but...
Well, that's why every night I'm out there telling people, don't have fucking kids.
Do you do that?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, the thing is, have kids in the same way that
no.
you... No, let me finish. So, because I know the pro, I know what you're saying,
and
I
right,
and like,
right,
but the,
right.
So it's more like this.
Obviously, I'm playing up a character.
Let's follow that trail, though, man. Like, okay, so imagine this.
Yeah,
you're in a relationship
that
is clearly wonky in some way, shape, or form. Who knows why? A little fucking just. It's not the goddamn. The Ferris wheel is kind of like breaking down.
Rickety crickety.
Yeah, a little rickety crickety Ferris wheel, which ain't that fun when you're on the top of the fucking Ferris wheel.
Shaking.
You know what I mean?
Whee!
Yeah, the carnies down below have got like flasks.
Play some bets.
They're, yeah. It functions not only as a Ferris wheel, it's also a roulette wheel.
Yeah.
So you're dealing with this thing, right? And also let's throw some fuel on the fire. Let's throw a little booze on the fire, right? So now
let's
you're in
it.
This wonky, boozy thing that's just not that stable, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so, because you desperately want to keep this fucking Ferris wheel going, you get the insane idea. You know what?
maybe if we add some kids to those seats over there, the Ferris wheel will balance out a little better. So mm-hmm. why don't we just have kids? Because maybe that'll fix our problems as some fucking kids. That's what's happening. People are popping babies into this dimension. Not
problem
out of some...
solvers.
Yeah. Yeah.
Fleshy, bloody problem solvers.
Oh, you know, when the kid comes, I'll stop drinking.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, once a kid comes, I'll have more direction in my life. And, you know, no. Have direction in your life on your own or don't have direction at all.
When the kid comes, I think she's going to feel secure enough in our relationship and I'll stop feeling
Dude,
fucking jealous.
I'll never forget, man. Back when we had landlines years ago, I was drinking real bad, right? It was a little, big old mess. And I was seeing this girl, right? She was coming down from Jersey to see me. I was back at my mom's house again, you know, and right to be about kicked out, right? And my aunt wow. calls, and I pick up the phone right as my mom picks up the phone, and I listen. And my aunt goes, we don't talk to my aunt anymore. She's a real jerk on, but she goes, Gail, how's Ian? She goes, well, you know, he's got this girl coming down. She goes, good. Good. Do you like her? And she goes, yeah, she's a real sweetheart. You know, she came in, complimented the house. My aunt goes, good, good. Get him married. Get him straight. Have a kid. He'll straighten out. Just get him with this girl. She'll take care of him. He'll quit his drinking. It'll straighten him right out. Wow. My mom's like, well, well. And I'm just on the other line. I go, hello. And not happening. Drinky, drinky, stinky, stinky.
Dude, this is the
yeah, yeah, yeah. Use another human to fix your failings.
The most
fuck you.
The most satanic prescription,
right?
It's like, it's
but people do it, man. People do it. If yeah. you know, hey, look, our relationship's on the rocks. We've been together. We're pot committed. Let's just get married. Once we get married, things will be fine. Okay, we're married. We're married. Oh God, we're arguing all the time. You know, things are
weird. Didn't work.
Oh God, didn't work. You know what? Let's have a kid. Once we have a kid, that'll bring us together.
Give us something to focus on.
You know, biologically, we'll be bonded. Chemicals will be exchanged, so we'll always have some sort of connection together. You know. Oh God, it's not working. Have another kid. Distraction, distraction.
And then the next thing you know, you're standing in front of the lake with an eighth grader.
Yeah.
Being like, yeah, you never just think about wandering away forever.
And thus the cycle continues and continues
yeah,
again.
That's right, man. And that is what happens. Because now what's happening is these children are being born into these broken families where yep. anger and hate are secretly in the subconscious of the thing. Even if the parents are by some brilliant act of pure discipline putting on some fake ass fucking smile.
Right.
The parents start sleeping in separate rooms. Dad's at work all the time. He's fucking somebody. Mom's going away. She's probably fucking somebody. They get
oh,
to
it's
get...
Uncle Steve.
Yeah.
Lots of uncles.
They hate each other at the table, but they're just right. acting with this big...
God forbid they even sit together at the table
yeah.
anymore.
Now you learned a lie. Now they teach yeah. you to lie. Now you've been brought up in a cauldron of lies. And then when you get out of that cauldron of lies, you don't know what the truth is anymore. And because you don't know what the fucking truth is anymore, you're in hell. Because what's worse than being in a world of fucking warped bullshit where your feet aren't touching any kind of
Ugh.
Ground because you're confused and you think it's okay to lie. And this produces...
I've been there, man. It's hell.
Hell.
I don't know what it's like to be in heaven, but I know what it's like to be out of the gates of hell.
Yeah, dude, and that's a great feeling. Is that's why one of the things I love about you, man, you're an outlaw. And these days, a lot of people, you have to become an outlaw. You have to become to truly set yourself free.
Yeah,
you do have to deal with the fact that, like, man, you know, when it doesn't mean be a lunatic about it, but the truth of the matter is, there might not be a way for you to continue to live in this fucking pyramid of satanic lies if you want to feel okay. You're right. going to have to walk out of the thing. And when you walk out, that fucking thing might fall down and you yeah. might land on you. A brick might hit you and that might be it for you, man. You never know.
Right.
People die for freedom and not just in national wars.
Right.
People die from freedom sometimes. When they really, really, whatever the structure is they've been living on, they fucking go.
Right.
And it's intense. It's,
right.
It's a...
Well, I run my mouth a lot. You know, if something happens, I won't shut up about it. You know, I'll kind of butt in and say stuff. And my mom's always like, Ian, you are going to get in you're going to get yourself killed one day.
Yeah.
Well, at least I'll die doing something I believe in, doing the right thing, than just keep my mouth shut.
Yeah.
Kept my mouth shut for too long.
Yeah.
You know?
And this is what's happening right now. I mean, this is everywhere, you know? People are speaking up, and, like, it's like that fucking Weinstein shit, you know? Ugh. It's like that, like, people who finally started snitching on that fucker.
Right.
You know, at first it wasn't fashionable to do, mm-hmm. you know? And, like, I don't know, man. It's like, it's a scary fucking world that we're living in, you know? Because it's like, nobody ever wants, you know, when you see movies about revolution,
mm-hmm.
it's kind of exciting and romantic.
Right.
Nobody really wants to be in a fucking civil war. Nobody wants to be in a
revolution. You don't see the bodies on the street.
Yeah, yeah. But it's like, God, man, like, anyway, the point is not to think about the bodies on the street. You know what the point is? The point is to think, is there a Harvey Weinstein in my life?
Mm-hmm.
Or is there a Harvey Weinstein in my heart?
Mm.
And it could be a combination of both of those.
Mm-hmm.
Probably is.
Mm-hmm.
Where am I the fucking oppressor, and who is oppressing me?
Right.
And is there a way for me to transform my oppressive nature, and is there a way for me to get out from under the thumb of some oppressive situation?
Right.
And this is the beginning of the revolution, I think, is mm-hmm. for the individual to first to begin to work on themselves, and then hopefully yeah. to, in a non-violent way, move out of whatever the particular right. thing is.
Well, how are you ever going to convince someone to let you paint their house if your house looks like shit?
That's a really great point, dude. Yeah, you know? Right? Yeah, 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 yeah.
You got to paint your house first.
Yeah.
You got to look inside and go, oh, fuck, I got to remodel.
Yeah.
I got to change this around.
Yeah.
We all got fucked up houses, man.
Yeah.
You clean your house, you fucking put the walls up, paint, make it look nice, and you move on and try to fix someone else's.
Yeah, that's it. And you got to be cool, man. If people are fucking working on their house, you got to be cool with it, right?
Yeah.
You got to, like, forgive. The main thing is we live in an era right now where people, I think, are having to come to terms with with what happens when dishonesty looks like on such an incredible level, which is not that presidents are generally honest, but to suddenly have, like, a president that is just fabricating bullshit out of the air. Like,
right
out of the air. Like just out of, you know, like in the last press conference where he's like, presidents don't normally call people who have died in war. But this is like just, you know, he mm-hmm. said it, and within seconds, a reporter's like, wait, what did you say? Like, mm-hmm. How can you say that? And he's like, well, I didn't.
Right.
But it's like, we're dealing with something like in such a global scale.
Right.
The result of that level of fucking dishonesty.
Yeah, but it's like, why? So then we can't work globally, so let's work locally.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, try to fix stuff here, because that globally, it's fucked. We can't change that image for a while.
Yeah,
you
know? And we're seeing that shit.
Yeah. Really.
But so it's like you're seeing that on this big level, and then when you bring it down to your own self, and you're like, where the fuck am I a lying piece of
right,
shit?
Right, right.
Where am I trumping it up?
Yeah.
Because no, as our sweet Lord and Savior Jesus Christ said, ye who have not sinned, throw the first stone.
Yes.
And I challenge you to gaze into yourself the moment you become intensely judgmental of Trump or anyone or anything. And really honestly look. You don't have to admit it, but gaze within.
For sure.
And certainly, certainly, your robes are not white, are they? You know what I mean? And then start working on that, because the idea is like, when you look down and you see that part of yourself, and you're like, oh, shit. Congratulations. You found the secret door in your house.
Right.
Because that's the way, that's that thing that looks like some sludgy fucking geometric blockage, some awful form inside yourself, the thing that the moment you fucking get some bleach and a couple of sponges and start scrubbing that out, that's a window into paradise. And, and then you clear that out and the light starts coming back in and everything's beautiful. You know, that's the idea.
But people don't want to do that. They want to go, I don't have a doorway in my house. They get a doorway and it's way bigger. You know?
Yeah, and you know, and Kate, you know, and that's fine. That's fine. You know, You gotta overcome oppression any way you can. But
well, it's funny. I feel like I've been trying to do this thing, and sometimes people are into it, and sometimes people aren't. But it's like truly, we are living in a time period where more people now than ever do not believe in God, but yet everyone wants us to act like Jesus fucking Christ. You know,
right?
Like everybody wants us to act like we don't have sin and that we are perfect. Yeah. And it's like, nah, man, we're all sinful. We all got shit that's wrong with us. Fucking, you know, clean out the sludge so you can help get over and help you clean out yours, you know, but also know that we all got sludge.
Yeah, we need that's what we need right now is like, we need to figure out a way to forgive.
Yeah.
And we got to figure it out fast because we got to figure this thing out, man. It's like, there's got to be a way to like forgive. This is the thing I keep thinking about is like, you know, so
you got to forgive yourself first.
Yeah. You got to forgive yourself. And like, it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay.
Yeah.
And then once you can really, or just at least have the intention of forgiving yourself, because really the thing we have to think about here is, these people in the Darth Vader outfits who come out and spray pepper spray on the people for trying to vote in Spain, or, you know, when anyone starts like protesting the Darth Vader people who come out and hit us, someone has been explaining it to me that those people are victims of trauma in their families. Probably those people have come from traumatic, abusive situations. Right. So for this thing to really work, man, because everyone's like, what, how are you going to fight against Apache helicopters?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's like, well, the way we would fight against Apache helicopters in some theoretical new American revolution based on creating a kind of non-bureaucratic globalized society where the boundaries have faded away and everyone loves each other and we start working on a fucking interstellar ship is, first, we have to figure out a way to make it so that it's attractive for the Darth Vader outfit people to come and hang out with us. And for that to happen, they can't feel like if they take off their Darth Vader outfit and join us, that we're going to be like, no, you're a fascist. Get the fuck out of here, fascist. Right. It has to be the opposite.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the vision that keeps coming to my mind is a swimming pool on a hot summer day. And we're all in there drinking beers, making out, having fun, enjoying life, and on the outside of the pool on this hot day, there's these fucking dudes in these Darth Vader outfits looking at the pool, and they're like, man, it's fucking hot in these Darth Vader outfits. Yeah. You know what I mean? And if they decide to take them off for a second and jump in the pool with us, we gotta be like, welcome.
Yeah.
You're with us now.
There's a hot dog and a beer.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's how I keep thinking about it, man. It's just like, the more welcoming and forgiving we can be, and the more we can advance ourselves to the point of having this very elastic forgiveness engine, right? Not to say that people don't deserve a little bit of time to mourn the karma they created in their confused demonic state.
For sure.
But come on, let's fucking let them weep for their sins. And then look, there's a wave pool over there. There's a hot tub over there.
Mm-hmm.
We love you. We were like you.
Yeah.
We have been redeemed. You
forgiveness
can...
and understanding.
But yeah.
You got to forgive and understand yourself first.
Yeah.
And the only way to do that is to look inward. I think therapists are the new superheroes of the century.
You have benefited so much from therapy, huh?
Insane. So much benefit from therapy. It is... saved my life completely, and seeing someone for every week for 2.5 years has tremendously benefited myself and the people around me too, you know?
Oh,
and,
my God. Yeah, you're the best. You're the best. Hanging out with you is so cool. But when you hang out with someone who's refined themselves in that way, it's just like you don't even realize. You're like healing people just by healing yourself. You don't even realize just the accidental result of being like that is when you get around neurotic freaks like me, we start lightening up. We're like, whoa, shit, wow. And we start thinking about things in a new way. And then we're like, whoa, it rubs off. It's contagious.
Yeah, man. It feels good. And you know, I don't know, man. I can't suggest it enough. And it just sucks that, you know, I'm fortunate. I have it covered through, you know, the minimal health care that I have, you know, but paying out of pocket is a real pain. And I just wish it was afforded to people, because everybody needs someone to talk to. Everybody needs to hear that no matter what they have in their head, it's okay. No matter how bad it is, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's thoughts, man. You can't control your thoughts. They don't make you bad. The action's what makes you bad. And yeah. even then, you know, you still need forgiveness.
We got to figure it out. That's one of the big things we got to get to next, man, is like some kind of massive forgive, just like global forgiveness days and like figure out what it means.
Like global hug.
Yeah. <You know? laughs> yeah. It's tricky though, because it's like.
We got to do arms across, hands across the world, but with hugs, you know, just like one massive group hug. You know, hugging is so therapeutic, dude.
It sure
oh
is.
Oh my God.
That's one of my favorite things about Burning Man is, man, it's so funny at Burning Man. Try to shake someone's hand. But like the there's a thing Ram Dass talks about very quickly, I know we should go.
Mm-hmm.
But the story is there are these, I think it's Cornfield talks about, there's these prisoners, two prisoners who are in Japanese prison camps. And they were like, they brought them together when they were old. They'd been in these camps together. And one said to the other, have you forgiven them for capturing you? For holding you in jail? And the guy was like, no, I will never forgive them. And the guy's like, well, then you're still in jail. You know? Yeah. They still got you.
Yeah.
And that's God the damn. Crazy secret. That's the key. You know, mm-hmm. it's like, God damn it. We have to really forgive.
Right.
How? He shot fucking right. 60 people. How do you forgive that, Ian?
Right.
This is not an easy thing. We're talking about fusion here. We're right. talking about not just some oh, it's easy to what I'm suggesting is not easy.
Right.
I'm suggesting like time travel.
Yeah.
How do we develop a forgiveness technology?
Well, have you ever had someone dying and you have and you know they're holding on for you and you have to give them permission to pass?
Yeah.
We have to do that with ourselves. We have to look inside ourselves and give ourselves permission to forgive and pass those things that we're holding on to.
Whoa, shit. Ian, where are you going to be performing coming up?
You can check me out, ianfidance.com, ianfidance.com. My Instagram is at ianimal. It's where I put a lot of my shows and videos and stuff. And I got a lot of fun stuff coming up. I don't know when this will be coming out, but
check this it out. This comes out next. This will actually probably come out this week. So give it. You'll be in LA next week.
Yeah, I'm going to be in LA October 23rd to the 30th. I'm going to be in Boston, Massachusetts, Vermont in November. Check my website for dates and Instagram.
Hare Krishna. Thank you,
Enjoy every sandwich. Thanks, Duncan. Love you, buddy.
Love you, too. Thanks for listening, everybody. And a big thanks to Squarespace for sponsoring this episode of the DTFH. You can go to squarespace.com. Use offer code Duncan to get 10% off. And much thanks to my Instagram viewers who stuck with me through the entire process of editing this thing together. Thank you very much, you guys, for watching this go down. And, of course, a tremendous thank you to all of you who continue to listen to and to support the DTFH. We've got some fantastic episodes coming up. And if you want to get some updates from the road, why not sign up over at patreon.com/DTFH. But I don't care if you don't sign up. I'm honored and it blows my mind that you guys listen at all. I love you. I'll see you next time. Hare Krishna.